welcome to 2000 in Tech. My name is Casey.
And I'm Jason.
And we are here to do a show for you.
This is our episode 13 podcast.
This is an epic podcast for us today.
Why is it so epic,
we
Casey?
We are broadcasting on Ustream.
Live. Ustream. Live broadcasting, and we're recording this so we can put it up on YouTube and
live
iTunes
in your face.
Later.
First time we've ever been live.
First time. Ever.
We've had one person sit in on a podcast so far.
Yes.
So this has the potential to greatly increase those numbers.
It'd be amazing.
And it also has the potential to not increase them at all.
Yeah, that's true.
But and, hey, this is our test show.
Yes, and people can throw in a little chat, shoot us some questions while we're talking live, and we'll see if that works. And
yeah, that's right.
You know, let us know if the volume's good, you know, how things are going and whatnot. So,
yep, any feedback you guys want to toss over our way, let us know.
Fucking throw it in that chat box.
That's right.
Little disclaimer, this is not a kid-friendly podcast.
That's right, yeah. If this is your first time.
I've already dropped the F-bomb at least once. It will happen at least another 20 times throughout this podcast.
If you turn up the volume a lot, you'll probably hear it a lot in the background, just echoing.
Echoing. Echoing just fucks everywhere.
That's right.
That'd be great. So, yeah.
Well, this podcast, yeah, you know, we've been doing this for a while, and it's starting to become second hat, if I do say so myself.
Yeah, I'm liking
sometimes
it.
Sometimes people say, oh, you're still doing that? And I'm like, yeah, I am, and yeah. I enjoy it every time.
Yeah, why the fuck not? I have my parents, they're like, yeah, I really, we want to listen to your podcast. I'm like, I don't really think you want to listen to that, Mom and Dad. They're a very traditional family. You know, I think I've heard my dad say cuss word, you know, 3 times.
Oh, wow. This
each time not, he's been raging mad.
This is not the podcast for him.
No. No, and I told him, I said, well, Dad, you know, I'll be happy to show you notes on the podcast and what we do. I said, but...
You take a lot of notes.
There's a lot of cursing involved, and I just don't think you'd like it. But, you know, hey, if the family wants to listen to it, more power to you, because I'm all about, you know, freedom of speech and fuck, fuckity, fuck, fuck, fuck.
Right.
So, anyways, whatever. All right, so let's get on with it, man. Right now, this week, good news. Android sold more phones than Apple in quarter one.
Da-da-da-da, sound the horns. Android has won the current battle, if you will.
Yes.
And you could probably say they're winning the fight.
Absolutely.
The war.
The battle,
war. They're winning the war right now.
Oh, yeah. The war against the evil Apple.
The evil Apple Empire, yeah.
It's a war for freedom, essentially.
That's right.
You know, you're talking about freedom of apps, freedom of openness, and, you know, unlike Steve Jobs, freedom from porn that he has with his Apple, you know, fucking regime.
Right.
So,
this is not a closed ecosystem.
Yeah, it's great. I think this is great. It's Android has now hit second to BlackBerry. RIM has been the number one market shareholder, just because, you know, they're so widely used throughout the corporate society. So they hold the market share.
A year from now, I don't think that's going to be true.
No.
I think at this point we're on death watch.
Yeah, and it's going down. But right now you've got BlackBerry that's got 36% of unit sales. You've got Apple with a meager 21%, and Android with a happy 28%.
So
it's only. You know, only 8% behind. It's going to obviously continue to grow. So, you know, I think it's really good. I'm excited with it. I think it's definitely a good testament to, you know, the validity of the Android platform.
Right.
And, you know, people are really starting to adopt this. A lot of users out there are really starting to pick up Android handsets, you know.
And for good reason. I mean, this is not a half-assed operating system. This is, you know... the mobile OS to rule them all, as I love to freaking say every podcast. I love saying it because it's the truth. I mean, I could. iPad is no longer in my possession.
Yes, for those of you who might just be tuning in for the first time, Casey has had both an iPhone and an iPad. Got the iPad opening day.
I kicked it out, and I said,
"They're gone."
Yeah, I said, "Take your stuff and get out of here. I never want to see you again."
Yeah.
It's, and then I seen one again when I was walking to the Apple store to return my case. The case.
And now you have
money
back from your case.
That's right, yeah. So I've made a little bit of a profit.
Let's break this down, because I find this interesting here. Because there was a big you know, hesitancy on your part to come over to the Android platform. You know, you had your iPhone, and you know, were gung-ho about it. You know, I wouldn't say you were Apple fanboy all the way around, but definitely a die-hard iPhone supporter. And then you got the iPad, because, you know, you wanted it. Nothing wrong with that.
Right.
And, you know, and you came to this epiphany, because I remember I was talking to you.
It's a fabulous device, the iPad.
You came to this epiphany that, you know, all the things that you would be able to do with your iPhone, you'd be able to do with your iPad. You know, if you wanted to stream Stern live, you could, you know, use your Android handset to put off a Wi-Fi signal that you could hook your iPad up to and stream Stern through, you know, the different apps and everything. And that's what really got you over to the Android, you know, system here.
Yep.
That really turned you. And now all of a sudden, you just thrown it all away.
Yep, it's all gone.
It's gone. You didn't really throw it away. I mean, you sold it.
Well, I had an epic money, but, I had an epic meltdown on Apple when I just finally got fed up with all the stuff that I had to do to jailbreak my phone to unlock it, and then just the waiting for all these different features and stuff that I've had to wait for in all these years. I've had every single iPhone and iPod Touch that
did you
that
have
was
the
out.
iPhone 2G the first?
I had it, but it was only for a few weeks because I thought better and returned it, thankfully.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, just a combination of all these things just really frustrated me. And then once I got rid of my iPhone and just had the iPad and used my incredible phone, I realized, you know, that my initial thoughts were right. I mean, the Android OS platform is just greatly exceeds anything that I could have hoped for. And it's a completely open ecosystem, giving you the ability to change any setting that they can fathom themselves.
Right.
You know, anything they can think of to give you the control over, they give you the control too, you know?
And that's the beauty of an open operating system and open source software, is that you really have the ability to customize to the fullest extent.
Exactly, yeah. It's the very definition of having an open operating system. Half the reason people have it, you know? They want cheap and expensive, and they want it personalized.
Yeah.
They want it, you know, so... Okay, so going back to what I was referring to with, you know, abandoning the iPad, I could totally see the operating system that's on my phone, I could totally see that on a tablet, and once Flash rolls out for the Android operating system, it will make an Android tablet just an absolute alternative to a laptop where you sacrifice basically nothing.
Right.
You sacrifice basically nothing, and you have full, complete access to the Android App Store.
Right. Not only would it beat out an iPad, but, I mean, it could beat out, you know, netbooks and even notebooks.
It could match and exceed your notebook, absolutely.
You know, definitely become a replacement, which is awesome.
Right.
You know, and it's, I wouldn't mind using the Android system on a tablet form.
You have all the control you could pretty much want.
Yeah, you can do everything you need to do. You know, you can access, you know, Google Docs and OpenOffice.org and do all that for your document creating and whatnot. And, you know, even for a reader, you know, those who say, well, you know, I want the iPad because I'm going to read ebooks, and, you know, they've got this Kindle app for the iPad and the iPhone and whatnot. Well, what's great is that there's going to be an Android Kindle app coming up soon.
Right.
Now, I personally am not going to use it. I don't read a whole lot as far as books and e-books and whatnot.
Me neither.
But, you know, the fact that it's coming to Android, first of all, you know, again, adds to the validity of Android as a, you know, feasible operating system, one that's, you know, going to be a major player.
Right, and Google Books is going to be running its heels. Google has been writing Google Books for a long time.
Yeah.
You know, went through a lot of red tape, and they're you know, it's coming to fruition, and that should be, you know, I mean, we might be stumbling on that right there. Google has already announced that, you know, it is working on a tablet with Verizon, so you might see the joint, you know, launch of the Google Books platform along with that. You know, that might be a 1-2 punch right there.
And that would be, that'd be great. The only thing I would...
Oh, gosh. I just want to read the look on Steve's face when this drops.
Oh, yeah.
A superior network with an awesome piece of hardware backed by Google. Ah, oh, so great.
You really can't get much better than that.
Oh, man.
Now, here's the only thing that I get scared of when Verizon says that they're going to, you know, launch this tablet. You know, I know a lot of, like, Verizon sells netbooks now. And you buy, you know, a $200 netbook, but it's, you know, $60 a month for their data coverage. which, you know, is quite considerable, especially if you already have a smartphone
right.
with the $30 a month package. That's getting a little expensive, and it's a contract. So hopefully, if they do it, they do it kind of how Apple did, where they give you the option of a month-to-month. Hopefully Verizon will do what AT&T did and, you know, cut the data package in half, make it a $30 right. data package like it is just for smartphones,
mm-hmm.
and do it on, you know, a month-to-month. That way people can use it when they need it, get rid of it when they don't, and I think that's really going to be, you know, a good key selling point if they want to do a 3G version of it.
Now, Google has been in partnership with HTC as far as the Nexus One goes, so hopefully they'll develop it through Nexus or through HTC. And in that same breath, they will usher in the Android tablet age that we've all right. been patiently waiting for since the iPad is launched.
I mean, I'd be happy to see Android on, you know, HTC, because they've got great phones. The Incredible, which we both have, which is an awesome phone. You know, you've got the, you know, even the first generation ones, you know, were decent in their time. You got the Nexus One. You know, so I think that'd be great to you know, have that. But I mean, even if Dell were to make an Android tablet or Samsung or any of those, I would still be happy to see that and have that, because you're going to have Android running on it.
Right. I'm a big fan of HP. I actually don't own any of their products at this point, but I love their laptops. And
I think their laptop.
Right, yeah. And I think they have a great build quality for a lot of their stuff. And
it's not too bad.
And I like their design and stuff. So I was very disappointed to see that they did ditch the slate at that we had all seen.
And that's just for the Windows 7. That was the Windows 7 slate that they were going
to
do.
Right, which I would have been more happy to carry anyway. But hopefully, right. you know, they do have an Android OS, you know, slate. And hopefully they don't have a web OS slate, as they've been hinting on. It might
that,
come to fruition.
That could be, you know, that's probably where they're going to go with it. I mean, they said they're really going to double down on the web OS. And
well, when it comes out and then they lose millions of dollars, maybe they'll just go ahead and make it to where you can put Android on the slate.
Here's what you got to do. First of all, you've got to look, and we're kind of switching, you know, jumping here, you know, to the whole HP acquiring Palm. But you really got to look at this. As far as HP is concerned, yeah, there's probably a decent move on their part. They got the, you know, Palm for fairly cheap from, you know, I mean, it's still like a couple billion dollars, but...
Yeah, I seen some stuff on that where there were like six different bidders.
Yeah, there were six different bidders. HP won the bid by 20 cents.
Right.
They offered $5.60 a share, or $4.60 a share, as opposed to $4.40, something like that. So, I mean, you're talking, you know, minimal amount per share.
Right.
But, you know, if they're going to do something with WebOS, I think they need to start putting their own innovation into it. I think they really need to tweak it.
Yeah,
you know,
I definitely
have
think
a potential, you know, to be good, but it's got a long way to go.
I don't think there's almost becoming to the point where there's not room, because if you have the Android OS, and then you have the Apple's whole
iPhone OS,
and then you have a basic Linux OS, and then you have Windows 7, and it's, you know, mobile capabilities.
And Windows Phone 7. And
yeah, I mean, there's...
The market is going to get pretty
saturated. Do us a favor
saturated.
And just don't, please don't, just don't.
Just use the patents and make something
cool. Yeah,
use
the patents for what they're worth and incorporate it a la HTC with their Sense, and how that's tied into the Android platform. You know, we want big things from you, HP, but we want Android to be part of those big
things. Yeah, exactly.
While we're on the topic here, I recently seen an article out there talking about they replayed an interview with Steve Jobs.
Yeah.
And Bill Gates.
They were sitting down with Walt Mossberg
and they were talking about the future of computers, and is it going to be a PC future or, you know, something else. And it's really funny to hear Bill Gates describe a tablet-like device
right.
that goes with your tablet-like smaller phone, and mm-hmm. how they and the different ways that they might interact. And Steve Jobs did not disagree with that, but
he was thinking more of a centralized personal computer.
Right, yeah. He kind of spoke in those terms. And I think basically Steve just failed to recognize the cloud as it is. And its potential, I think, if, you know, he had realized that maybe. But this was all just purely speculation. But it was definitely very, very funny to see them sort of standing on opposite sides of the, somewhat opposite sides of the opinion there. And
And now Apple's
Bill Gates,
got
right
this.
There. He had the keys to the mansion right there, and he didn't follow through and
you know,
push for a freaking tablet to be made.
He, I don't know. Bill Gates.
I mean, that's not his thing anymore.
Yeah, you know,
it really isn't.
Not anymore.
So it's kind of unfair.
You know, but still, I mean, not to say that the man wasn't a genius, because obviously he's done some genius things. You know, I mean, I'm using Windows 7, and you know, it was my idea. I mean, what? No. fucking commercials.
Technically, you're right.
It's true. But, you know, he's done some great things. You know, granted, he can be a cutthroat, ruthless, cold-hearted bastard when it comes to, you know, making sure he has dominance.
Right.
But
such
there's no
as,
doubt
such as the times are changing and some traditional PC folks feel like the world is slipping away.
Oh, snap. Because it is. You know? So, I don't know. But, yeah, it's definitely interesting to see Bill Gates, you know, describing this tablet. Steve not really seeing that vision, obviously. Maybe after that interview, Steve was like, a tablet. Let's have to make one. Because he's been working on it for a little while. He obviously didn't just come up with it, like, sitting on the crapper in December and like, I need to release a tablet.
Right.
And have it released in, you know, March. So, you know, I don't know. But back to Android. Back to wonderfulness.
Absolutely.
The Droid Aris was rumored to get its 2.1 update, and I am here to tell you that it is getting it. Verizon's rolling it out just like they did the 2.1 update for the Droid. They're rolling it out in a two-week span. Most people have already gotten it, though. And it's nice to see the Droid Aris, which, by the way, was running on 1.5, you know, and a lot of stuff like Google Goggles and certain things like Google Maps and a lot of apps in the App Store, you know, required at least 1.6 or better.
Right.
So, you know, it was running on, you know, really the first stable, popular build of Android, which is 1.5. So the update to 2.1, especially with the Sense UI, because, you know, it's the HTC Droid Aris, you know, that's great to see that rolling out. It's definitely smooth. You know, it works like, you know, it does on my Incredible. Obviously, my Incredible's a little bit faster. It's got a, you know, faster processor and whatnot, but,
So it did, from your use, it did make the phone just overall faster?
Yeah, that's good. Because I know using the Aris, it had been laggy when you had a lot of stuff running and switching between, you know, different programs and trying to bring up the web and, you know, just trying to do different things on there. And I noticed that it did kind of bring it all together a little bit more.
Nice.
You know, it was quicker to open apps and quicker to switch back and forth. So, you know, that's good. And they said that it definitely is going to help the battery life, which is great because, you know, I mean, as bad as the battery life is on the Incredible, I mean, it's not horrible, but it's pretty rough. The Aris was even worse.
Wow.
So the fact that it's going to improve that is, you know, definitely refreshing for those of you who have the HTC Aris out there, you know, you're current with 2.1.
Right.
And that's great, because a big, you know, a big complaint of the Android platform is that it's been so fragmented.
Right, and Google's promised to try and, you know, make that a little better, but, you know, it's kind of tied in with the phone's actual, you know, manufacturer, as far
right.
as them sort of incorporating their stuff into it and then pushing it out, so.
And that's the thing, is the manufacturers have been, you know, deciding which version of, you know, Android they're going to put on there. So
right.
hopefully this update, you know, will help unify things. You know, Android 2.2, the Froyo, that's going to be coming out soon. You know, we're going to get a preview of it at the Google I/O, which starts tomorrow, amazingly
yep.
enough.
Yes.
Woohoo! Excited. And, you know, and it'll probably roll out, you know, in a couple months. Now, obviously, the, you know, older generation phones like the Aris and the, you know, MyTouch and the G1 probably aren't going to be able to handle 2.2, more than likely. That would be my guess. I'm not saying it's not going to be able to, but that would be my guess. Hopefully our phone, the Incredible, will easily be able to handle
right.
2.2.
Yes.
But, you know, hopefully they'll see this as, you know, a unifying step where handset makers will no longer be releasing old, outdated versions of Android. They're going to make their handsets to the specs that are required to run the latest and greatest, newest version of Android.
Right.
You know, obviously, you've got phones like the Evo 4G coming out is going to run 2.1 to start with because 2.2 is not out yet.
Right.
But, you know, once 2.2 launches, all of these 2.1 phones, you know, phones that start out with it, the, you know, the Nexus One, the Incredible, even the Motorola Droid, which, you know, got upgraded to it, should be able to handle this 2.2 update. And hopefully that'll, you know, create more unity, you know, within the platform. Yeah, as far as the older phones, I mean, you know, you look at it like this. When the iPhone OS 4.0 comes out, the iPhone 2G is not going to be able to handle it. You know, they're not going to be able to do certain things. They might be able to handle certain, you know, user interface upgrades, but they're not going to be able to handle, you know, the multitasking and whatnot. And,
right.
And, you know, and that's something that Steve Jobs has said. It's just the same thing, like, I got a Pentium 2 computer. I'm not going to be able to put Windows 7 on it. You know, it's just one of those things that eventually the software is going to outperform the hardware. You're going to have an upgrade. So right. You can't always expect, handset makers to constantly, you know, make sure that they have the latest and greatest. There's obviously going to be, you know, a certain point where you're always going to have to upgrade because that's technology. There's always going to be something better out there.
Right.
Yeah. You know, so, but, you know, I'm excited for that. I'm glad that, you know, one more handset gets the 2.1 update. I guess the Samsung Hero is supposed to get it pretty soon. That keeps getting pushed back. You know, I thought Verizon had a long testing with theirs. Apparently Sprint has, you know, been pushing that back constantly.
It's long, but I'm sure it's needed.
Yeah, you know, and
timely as possible. It's good.
Yeah. You know, they definitely, there really aren't any bugs that I've seen with the update to Air, so.
Well, that's good. That's impressive.
Good shit. I'm excited.
Right on. So all this great stuff's going on with Android. You got Froyo coming out. They got the Google I/O tomorrow. Their app store is going great.
Yeah.
Sales are going great. Firmwares are going great. And we're losing two guys from the Android team.
Shiza.
Now the team is made up of way more than two individuals.
Right.
And what more, you know, so.
And you still got Andy Rubin.
That's right. That's right. The primary head of the Tetra.
Yes.
But anyway, so there's a gentleman named Eric Sen, and he's a senior product manager for Android. And he took off, and a man by the name of Cedric Buist, and he's a senior Android software engineer.
That's rough.
Yeah, it is kind of disappointing. He's headed off to
LinkedIn.
Yeah, he's Cedric's headed off to LinkedIn, and then Eric's headed off to Facebook. So,
which that really kind of fucking irks me.
Well, I like him going to Facebook because he's a mobile guy headed to Facebook to fix their mobile issues.
Right,
but because as of right now, the Android app for Facebook is fucking shitty.
Oh god, it's horrible.
It's real bad.
I really fucking hate it.
I'm tired of fucking bouncing between my browser and the Facebook app just to fucking do basic stuff.
That's one thing I'll say I missed from my BlackBerry was the Facebook app for that was actually really well integrated.
It's for Facebook being as big as they are, this should be something that's fixed in weeks, not fucking years.
Yeah. Well, and with all the privacy issues that have been going on with Facebook recently, you know, and just, I understand that they're still growing and they're still doing well, but I mean, what did they have to offer, you know, Mr. Sen, to leave a giant such as Google to go with Facebook? And I'm not saying Facebook is, you know, small potatoes, but they don't match Google.
Well, he said it best when he said on the 2 years at Google, he's like, I feel like I spent 2 years at Google and then 4 years at a small startup called Android.
Right.
That plans to revolutionize the mobile industry. I thought that was pretty funny. That was a quote from Cedric Buist, and but he did also say regarding Froyo, prepare to be blown away, but what you'll see very soon. So
yeah, 2.2 is gonna.
So the team is still very explosive. You know, they have this great firmware coming out, and then, you know, they have all their pieces there. Money, I'm sure, is what lured him away from that. It sounds like.
I'm just surprised that they could afford him.
Facebook.
Yeah.
They are dominating the web, dude.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
Absolutely.
Like, so they're not small potatoes,
absolutely,
but
dominating the web.
I don't know.
They're a huge company right
now.
Yeah,
by raping us of our privacy and selling it to advertisers.
Absolutely. And backdoor-wise, Google kind of does that as well.
Google's pretty transparent about it.
Right, they are. They are.
Hell, you and I both
I'm
got
not happy about
email.
Facebook. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, that email that we got.
Yes, we did get an email from Google.
Because we both use Latitude on our phones.
Exactly.
And Google actually sent an email. I'm going to bring it up here because I was really surprised when I got this, and I think you got it like a day later or something like that. I mean, it's really...
No, I think I got mine a week before you, actually.
I don't think you did, Chief.
Yeah.
I don't know. Could be. I don't know. I got to find it here, but...
I found Latitude first. Don't get it twisted.
Yeah, you got me...
Okay, buddy?
You got me hooked on Latitude. You know, I apologize. But, yeah, I mean, essentially the gist of the email is, hey, you're using Latitude. Here we go. All right, just from Google, no reply at google.com. Hi, to protect your privacy, we would like you to know that Google Latitude is running on your Android power device and reporting your location. If you didn't enable this or want to stop reporting your location, please open up the Maps app on your device, go to, you know, menu, Latitude, Privacy, change privacy settings. Basically, you know, walking you step by step how to turn that off. Thanks, Google Latitude team. You know,
that's awesome.
Short, sweet, simple.
Didn't have to send it.
No, but great, because they're saying, hey, you are opening up yourself to, you know, maybe potential privacy concerns, whatever.
Right.
You're broadcasting your location. We want to let you know that you're doing that.
Right.
So in case you didn't realize it, you can, you know, remove it. Or
right.
You can
and
stop
for
it.
People that have never used Latitude, I mean, it keeps you pinned on a map, basically, and you can share your location with friends just real time.
Right.
You
and
know.
You can choose who you want,
right.
You know, to share
full
with, and
approval
you can block,
process and everything.
You know, but
you can set it to just share where what city you're in as opposed to your exact GPS location.
Right. But I'd hardly say that Google does to our privacy and sells it off to people like what Facebook does. You know,
right? I don't know the exact, you know, examples that people are referring to. I've read a little bit about it, but. I mean, it's a huge deal. I mean, it is a really, really big deal. I mean, people are really up in arms about this, and for good measure. I mean, Zucker seems to just not care.
He's
at
a
all.
Cocksucker.
Yeah, and
Mark
they,
Cocksucker. That's
now,
his new name.
Right. Absolutely. So this was not officially confirmed, but supposedly there was a chat excerpt. From Zuck, back when he was 19 years old and running Facebook, and he said, he mentioned to a guy, he's like, hey, you know, if you need to know anything about anyone at Harvard, I have, you know, thousands of different email addresses and everything.
Pictures, addresses, you know, SNS.
And he's like, I don't know why people trust me. They just submitted it.
Yeah, he's like, well,
dumb
the guy
fucks.
Was like, how'd you manage that? He's like, oh, people just submitted it. I don't know why they trust me.
Yep.
Dumb fucks, like you said, yeah.
Yep. So if that's true, it's unbelievable. I mean, it really
yeah.
is. I mean, granted, his company was a lot smaller then, so I kind of get.
Well, granted, he's 19 and he's a kid, but still.
Right, but that's, you know.
I mean, that's kind of inexcusable.
That was his attitude then. I mean, hopefully he's changed completely, but.
Usually once a douche, always a douche.
That's right, yeah.
And this guy is pretty high on the douche meter.
Right, and even if it's changed, man, come on. I mean, that's an awful thing to say.
That's fucked up, you know. And I mean, it really is a hassle to get through all the privacy settings.
Right.
You know, you have like 15 different fucking steps to try.
Right.
And
even when
just
you do that,
shit.
Right. And even when you do that, I mean, with the reports that everyone's saying, I mean, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Like, it still will use that to sell to other companies and all that stuff.
So. There have actually been a couple hackers out there that have created a transparency app that actually shows you what all information is being sucked up from Facebook.
Yeah, I've seen that.
So. I mean, it really, this has been getting huge. I mean, the story's been out there for, you know, probably the better part of a year, but it is really starting to come to light. I guess they've just been getting worse and worse. They changed their privacy statements without telling anybody, you know, their terms of agreement change, and, you know, people are still signed to it. So, you know, you're basically given this information, and, you know, that's how they make their money. They sell it to the advertisers.
Right.
And, you know, I don't particularly care for that. I try to keep my shit, you know, as private as I can on there just because, you know, I don't like advertisements.
Right.
You know, if you're going to have advertisements, I mean, I understand that, but don't be using my information.
Right.
And the one thing I noticed, because you kind of compared it to, you know, Google, how they kind of keep all this information on us, you know, when I bring up the Google homepage, you know, for the search, I have the option to actually turn on or turn off my location. I can do it on my phone, I can do it on, you know, on the computer, and, you know, the location is just for advertise-based purposes and for search result purposes.
Right.
You know, so if I search, you know, Shabooms, you know, it'll find the closest Shabooms bar, you know, and, you know, to my location. But
or you could, on your phone, you could hit the microphone button and say, I'm going to Shabooms!
Shabooms! Right. So, you know, Google may get all this information from you, but I like the fact that it's easy to turn it off. It's not something that easy to do on Facebook.
Yeah, I have no doubt in my mind that I could poke around there and turn off every single thing that may incriminate me, you know, or just, you know, simply stop.
Because you're a scandalous fucker.
That's right. That's right. I gotta know these things.
Mm-hmm.
I may have some certain bookmarks ready to do that thing at a moment's notice.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Got a kill button ready to go.
So, yeah, it's a sad day. People leaving Android to go to Facebook.
Right, but that's okay.
It's okay. Who gives a shit? Because there's other good shit.
Yep, because you know what? Android's going to keep moving on. Keep moving on.
Keep moving on.
And hopefully we'll get a good Facebook mobile app out of all that
stuff. Yeah, I know, seriously.
But anyway, 65,000 Android phones. Say what? Shipping per day, Jigga.
Yeah.
65,000 Android phones shipping per day.
That's per day. Per week, not per month. Per day.
Yep.
Now,
your sister's birthday? Yeah, ship 65,000 Android phones.
That's right. You know your mama's birthday? Huh? 65,000 Android phones shipped.
Oh, shit.
That's right. You know that UFC we're watching? 65,000 Android phones shipped.
You know how many are going to ship tomorrow?
65,000.
They might ship 70.
Oh, shit. Yeah, because this number was down at 60 just a couple months ago.
That's right.
Yeah, shit is tight.
So, yeah. I love it. They're kicking ass, taking names. Once again, what I was describing, I mean, this is the biggest advantage that they have over Apple, I think, is Apple releases one piece of hardware every year.
Right.
They release 3 phones, 4 phones a month, so...
You know, and I mean, you have the iPod Touch that still runs the OS and can do the browsing. You got the iPad.
Right.
You know, so you've got a couple devices. But you have one phone, and that's it.
Right.
You know, no other phone that's going to run this iPhone OS, you know, that I'm sure people would love to have on other handsets.
Right.
You know, and that's hindering them. And that is causing them to lose the race. It's not speculation anymore. They have lost market share to Android.
Right.
It's a reality.
Right here.
It's a fact, Jack.
You could mark me down. And you, just turned back 4 podcasts ago, you said, I'm just going to get the iPhone.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to get it.
I was swayed from, you know, Apple and all their deviousness.
Yep.
And I just said, you know what, fuck it, I'm getting the Incredible.
Let's do it.
Because it's an amazing phone.
Let's roll.
So they lost my business. They lost 2 parts of your business, the iPhone and the iPad.
That's right.
That's, you know.
And I aspired to get a MacBook.
Yeah.
It wasn't happening soon, but it was going to happen. Now, no.
Nah.
No.
No. Nah.
I don't think so.
Not going to do it. Not going to do it.
Not going to do it, and you're not going to make me.
No. So,
going on in Nexus-related Android-related
Android 65,000 phone shipping news.
That's right. Well, a small percentage of those could be attributed to the Nexus One.
Only a small percentage.
Unfortunately, just a very small percentage.
Just a tad.
I liked the strategy, but it should have been more than a one-pronged strategy. Basically, Google wanted to put a link on their website and let you buy a phone there. They didn't want to let you see the phone. They didn't want to let you demo the phone.
Right.
They didn't want to let you meet someone from Google to buy the phone. They didn't want you to call them and ask them for help with the phone.
Exactly.
They just wanted you to hit the link and pay them.
Buy the phone.
Great phone, don't get me wrong.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's been doing well.
Support structure on the internet, email, comments, that kind of thing, but, you know.
It was an epic failure by Google as far as launching
they made money on it, so I don't think we can use the word failure,
to what it could have been.
But even then, I don't think you can call it a failure, though. I think you can call it a misjudgment or a misstep.
I'm going to call it a failure.
A lack of vision.
I'm going to call it a failure compared to what it could have been.
They need to rework things because it was a successful operation. And once they have a better support structure. But it was successful.
Right. And I'm not taking anything away from that. I'm just saying compared to what it could have been.
I wanted to keep doing that and just get the damn phones in the stores. Because I guarantee you if a freaking Nexus One was available on T-Mobile... That store might have been a little bit more popular.
Right, instead of trying to call around and find, you know, one salesman that has it, going into the store and it's smelling like fucking baby ass.
We owe him lunch.
Yeah, somewhere away from that store, though, because it smells like shit. You know, but...
We'd like you to come across the street, we have something to show you.
Yeah, exactly. We have some lunch for you, but, you know, here's the thing. Yeah, I liked the initial idea setting it up on the web, choosing the different carriers you want to go with. That's one way to do it. Great. First of all, the advertising was horrible.
I thought the advertising was good.
The only advertising was really on the web, and in that, it wasn't very robust. You and I saw it because we use a lot of Google products.
That's true.
But anyone who's not using Google Reader or, you know, fucking Google Maps or whatever, I mean, well, the most advertising I saw was in my Reader.
Well, I didn't see a lot of Nexus One advertising. But I think that's because we use our Reader a lot. If you went outside the Google Apps database, but if you went on a site that Google advertised on, I think you would have seen the links there as well.
Some, yeah, but it just wasn't as robust as it could have been. The Motorola Droid got huge advertising on TV. The HTC Incredible got huge advertising on TV.
Very prominent.
You know, well, all those handsets that are sold in
stores. Well, then I would take a step back from that, though, because I think the Droid is getting more advertisements than the Incredible. I think the Incredible commercial actually just recently started being aired.
The commercial got aired, just showed the actual phone. The most recent commercial is the first commercial that showed the actual phone, but the actual the commercials were, you know, were there. But no, the Motorola Droid commercials, actual Motorola Droid,
right,
are definitely more prominent than the HTC Incredible commercials. But it, you know, the advertising still was more than what you have for the Nexus One.
Right, absolutely, right.
You know, so and like you said, not having a physical phone to touch, to hold, to demo is really, really, really going to hurt your sales.
Right. I mean, they, quite obviously, they are intentionally or unintentionally, we're only targeting, you know, people that were very much in the know.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people just walk over to the phone store and buy a phone. I mean, a lot of people, there maybe isn't a lot of prep going into it.
You know?
They may come there wanting a particular phone, but can be easily swayed either way once they, you know, see what's going on there. So
yeah, and you and I went in when we first heard that it was released. We tried to go to a T-Mobile store, like, you know, can we see a demo?
It was fun to lottie in there and check one out because we just knew there would be one there.
No demo handset, nothing. There wasn't even like a mock-up.
We planned a whole day around it.
Yeah, we did, dude. I was so upset.
Yes,
I was defeated and broken. So, yep. So anyways, they're gonna get rid of their web store. Google is, for the Nexus One.
Bummer.
So they're kind of going from one extreme to the other. Now they're going to sell only in-store.
See? Scale it back, guys. Come on. Let's ease into this.
Can't we meet in the middle? Do both the web store and in-stores?
Give me an eBay store. Something.
Something. Well, here's the thing. Sprint and Verizon have both pulled out of selling the Nexus One for the simple fact that they've got their own phones that are, you know, that they're selling that are going to be better.
Yep.
You know, spec-wise, at least. The Incredible for Verizon, the Evo 4G for Sprint.
I personally like the design of the Nexus One.
No, I do, too. I'm not saying that it's a bad phone.
I like the touch thing at the bottom.
I just think that had it been in stores, it would have been more successful.
Absolutely,
right. I think that
I'm bummed.
They had pushed it harder to Verizon and Sprint, you know, maybe they would have had a little bit more, you know, sales on it. But
you know what? I'm holding my Incredible up. Me and Jason both carry Incredibles, and we couldn't be happier.
No. Dude, I am so stoked for this phone.
It's pretty good.
I look at it every day, and I'm like, God, you're so beautiful.
Yep.
It's just great. You know, I'm coming from a BlackBerry Storm.
And I'm coming from a 3GS.
Yeah. I mean, and it's just
very happy.
It's amazing. So
if you want a phone that for all the basics, get the phone. If you want the phone for every single advanced feature you could want,
including awesome coverage.
Awesome coverage, get the phone.
Incredible through Verizon. Yeah, so web store's gone. Nexus One no longer on the web. Yeah.
Man, all right.
Fuck it.
More Android news.
No, I love Android.
Adobe Flash enabled sites are highlighted upon updating to Android 2.2.
Yes, because 2.2 is going to have Adobe Flash native in it. We're not talking the Flash 10.1 beta, which is going to be coming out to all of us wonderful smartphone users soon,
yes,
like in June.
We're
talking full-on Flash.
Flash!
Oh! That's
right. We might have to watch like a Flash like cartoon.
Flash Gordon?
Yeah.
Flash Gordon.
Just, you know, we'll
love it.
We'll have to watch something like that on the day it comes out.
Absolutely.
Just to be nostalgic.
It's going to be our music for our podcast. Yeah. That's going to be the intro and outro music, I've already decided. You get no say. that's going to be great. You know, Froyo is supposed to be fucking sexy. You know, Google I.O., like we said, is tomorrow. That's their big thing. Kind of like Apple's WWDC.
I hope we get bunches of awesome announcements.
Punches and bunches?
Yes.
Joe?
that's right, Goldie. Punches and bunches.
Toe-to-toe. God, I love UFC.
And it's all over.
Good shit. So, yeah, I think we're going to get a lot of awesome information. For those of you who have an Android phone, there's a Google I.O. app for the Android.
I knocked you out so many times in UFC 25.
Dude, shut up.
You got pieced.
How many times was, you know, I rampaged and you were Rashad and I knocked you out twice. And then we had to switch up for you to even knock me out. I knocked you out with Rashad.
You might be like one up on me.
Yeah, I think so.
Just one.
Shogun rocked me.
Just, yeah, he did.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I get for being a cheetah.
I love a
cheetah.
I still love you, man. Take my chin.
Yeah, for those of you who are avid gamers, the new UFC demo's out on Xbox 360. We downloaded it. You can play two players on a single box. Improved graphics for the, from the last game. The ground game is still just as unbearable.
Honestly, more of the same, different coat of paint. That's what I got.
Yeah, you got better graphics.
But weaker chins.
Yeah. Oh, my God, weaker chins. So, whatever. But, Adobe Flash, Apple hates it. We love it. It's good shit. We're definitely going to get a preview of it coming up.
Right. So, Skyfire browser, if you guys I just wanted to mention this quickly. The Skyfire browser gives you some Flash capabilities by rendering the Flash off-site on their server and then just treating you a video feed.
Right.
It's pretty cool.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Does works pretty good. Not 100% by no means, but it's still pretty good.
You know what was great about it? And I'm going to tell you this, because there's one day I was sitting in Chick-fil-A's parking lot, because I love me some Chick-fil-A, not going to lie, and I'm like, fuck, I want to watch a TV show. Oh. Got on Skyfire, went to Hulu, I could watch whatever I wanted to watch. I watched, a new episode of Family Guy.
Nice.
I was going to watch, I forgot what the fuck I was going to watch, and I just, decided I'm going to watch Bones instead, because I like Bones. it's a good show on Fox. But, anyway, so I'm watching it, whatever, and I'm all excited because, dude, I mean, I got through the whole episode of Family. I only got, like, halfway through Bones because I was done eating.
Right.
And I'm just going to sit in the parking lot and watch that shit. But, I got halfway through, or all the way through Family Guy without a hiccup. It was crystal clear. It was great.
That's awesome.
I text you right afterwards. I'm like, dude, this fucking rocks. Fucking Hulu. They are now blocking Skyfire. So you can no longer get on Hulu's website and view videos. You can get on Hulu's website, but they're blocking it. I don't know why, because the advertisements are just the same. You still have to watch the advertisements.
Right, yeah.
There's absolutely no reason to block a mobile platform from having this, but they're blocking Skyfire.
Keep pushing, we're going to push back.
Yeah.
I don't know how, but we will.
Just fucking not use Hulu anymore. There are plenty of other sites that, are comparable.
Okay, let's touch on this, because this is an issue.
Okay.
On the iPad.
Yeah.
You go to video sites that it's capable of interacting with.
Uh-huh.
And they say, no, you're on an iPad, you gotta pay.
Oh!
Android, same thing. Some sites, you gotta pay.
Yeah.
That's bullshit.
That is fucking
just because
bullshit.
I'm not on a laptop. In the iPad's case, just because I don't have a keyboard.
Exactly.
I can't watch this stuff, so this is, okay, this is a rising issue.
Mm-hmm.
If this stuff continues going on, I would definitely hope that these genius people out there that are up for the good of mankind will develop some sort of type of program that will emulate your computer as being seen as a desktop to that site. I don't see why that would be very hard to do and very easy to, get the content that you want to get.
Now, even on some stock browsers for Android, and I think even for Dolphin browser, you can render the page as
a desktop. And that's the beginning
desktop.
Of it right there, yeah.
Right, and once they introduce Flash, well, fuck, I'll just render Hulu as a desktop and use my Flash on my Android phone, and there you go. Hopefully that'll be it.
Right, absolutely. But, I don't see that as being too difficult to do. I mean, how are they determining this stuff,
Right, it's something.
It can't be too hard to emulate.
The network and shit, so. And I just, I think it's upsetting.
They're going to have to start saying, okay, if you're connecting to us from Verizon, you can't use it.
Right, and even, and most of the stuff, because I was streaming Hulu through Skyfire on 3G, which was great. That's another testament. I wasn't on Wi-Fi. I was on 3G,
That was awesome.
Hulu is also kind of giving another slap in the face here. They are not working on an HTML5 player for the iPad or iPhone. I think they're like one of the only ones that hasn't succumbed to the dark side of that. But in the same move, an HTML5 player you know, whether it be for iPad, iPhone, or just for, like, Google Chrome browser, would be amazing to have. I love HTML5, want to get me some of that. But, you know, this is kind of a dick move on their part.
Yep.
They're like, oh, we want to alienate you because you're on a mobile product, you know, more mobile than, say, like, a laptop, you know. I think it's bullshit. And, you know, there was no problem with it, you know, doing through Skyfire. Yeah, I mean, it's a smaller screen I got on there.
Right.
You know, yeah, it's not as crisp and clear, but I understand that. Coming from a mobile platform, coming from a phone, I understand that even the videos I watch on YouTube aren't always going to be crystal clear. Right. Now, I'll tell you what, some of them, when you do the high-def stuff, are awesome. You know, they look really good on that 3.7-inch screen.
Sweet. Yeah.
But, you know, hey, whatever. You know, fuck Hulu. They're going to start charging you $9.99 a month anyway.
Right. So. 90% of the viewership's getting ready to drop off anyway.
Yeah. So,
sorry. Well, more video news. Something that pisses me off.
Oh, my God.
Makes me mad.
Yeah, this is
upsetting. I found this when I was looking for a solution to the issue, and then I found out, the issue has no fix, basically.
Right.
DivX playback coming to the Android OS thanks to LG, which means LG's making a phone. It'll do DivX on the Android platform.
Probably the LG Ally.
And we don't get shit.
Yeah.
So, DivX, very popular form of... very popular codec.
Good video codec for...
All my videos, 85% of my videos are in a DivX format. It's a large format that's not necessarily suitable for a mobile platform, but that's for me to decide.
Right, exactly. It's for me and my micro SD card and internal memory to decide.
Exactly. So I think it's very frustrating. I understand it would be hard on the hardware, hard on the battery, but that's my fucking business once again.
Exactly.
I can't believe there's not an app to emulate this. It must be somewhat of a tall order, or maybe it is just the size that turns people off.
Or maybe it'll happen once it actually gets released.
Right, yeah, maybe I can somehow emulate that LG app.
You know, those developers on XDA might come up with something. I mean, you know, there's plenty of smart people out there that are developing Android apps, porting over iPhone apps, you know, doing all this shit. It's just a matter of time.
Right, and I'm not trying to use some sort of media streamer from my desktop through the internet.
No, fuck no, dude. Know.
Just give it to me.
Yeah.
And along with that, I want my fucking Flash as soon as possible so I can start streaming Sirius Satellite Radio.
Yes. Yes.
So I'm suffering without any stirring in the morning.
So, another good browser, because we mentioned Skyfire, you know, for the Android handsets, was Dolphin Browser. And for anyone on 2.0 or above, the Dolphin HD Browser, which is pretty sexy.
Funny story about Dolphin, real quick.
Dolphin.
That was the code name for Nintendo's... That's the code name that Nintendo used for the GameCube.
No shit.
That is correct.
I don't know why the fuck they would even do that, but...
Dolphin.
Yeah. The and controller, maybe?
The word dolphin will forever be etched into my mind as a Nintendo...
a Nintendo product.
I see Dolphin Browser, and I'm like, oh, Nintendo made a browser.
Right. Dolphin HD. Well, you got your standard Dolphin Browser and your Dolphin HD Browser, which...
Real quick, you want to know the code name for the Nintendo 64? You want to take a shot at it?
Walrus.
It's cousin to Super.
It's cousin to Super?
Yeah, it was like Super Nintendo, and then... What's better than Super?
Awesome.
Ooh, so close.
Incredible?
No.
Oh, right. Fantastic.
Oh, one more.
Amazing? I don't know. Tell me.
Ultra.
Ultra.
So I would call Blockbuster and say, hi, do you have any video games for the...
Ultra Nintendo?
Ultra Nintendo 64. And they would say, what? No. What's the... Nintendo 64? Oh, that's the new one. they're all rented out.
Yeah, I just call it the Uber 64.
And I finally told her, I was like, look, it's called an Ultra Nintendo 64. She's just like, let me get back to my 9-to-5, $8-an-hour job.
Back then, maybe like a $5-an-hour job, what are you talking about? All right. So Dolphin Browser.
It's awesome. Dolphin Browser HD is the newer one that everyone should be using.
Yeah, as long as you're on Android 2.0 or above, you can use it.
Right.
Fucking awesome browser. Used to be able to download videos from YouTube on your SD card.
Yep.
Used to, until they updated it about 2 days ago. Now, which I updated to, and I'm pissed because I didn't read the update notes first. Because you could not update it.
I read them and just did it because I know the features that will be implemented along the road are definitely going to be worth it. But, listen, it accepts add-ons. There's Android There's apps in the marketplace that'll let you download a YouTube with other apps.
Right.
And it does support add-ons, so eventually, hopefully, there'll be a sweet marriage between the two.
Right, but Google was like, hey, you know what, because Google owns YouTube, they said to Dolphin...
And they're on Android. And yeah. And they're in the marketplace.
Yeah. And they said, you need to take your shit.
You need to start playing nice.
Yeah, so... Yeah, they nixed that, you know, sad story, it's but crazy, it's not like, man. It can't be done.
I download songs and stuff, and I guess I shouldn't say that. I go to YouTube and stream legitimate content, and sometimes I like to store that content on my phone and then watch the content 100 times.
Exactly.
So all those page views that they're missing, and yeah, it's funny.
It's broken and sad. And
yeah, I kind of feel bad for doing it, but hey, you work with me and start recording those. Hell, doing this helps you.
Right.
Exactly. Because it offloads the process. You just have to stream it to me once. You can keep getting credit for it. Hell, you can run a little ad at the top of the screen if you want. But just let me acquire that.
Almost every
myself.
Other program I've got run on my fucking Android phone has a little ad mod bar at the bottom, which I barely notice, but it's there. So just fucking put it there.
Exactly, yeah.
You know,
let me download the video.
Yeah.
And hell, if you want to remove it, just fucking remove it. It's cool.
And then I can't, you know.
Right.
Then it's gone. Big deal. Whatever. So.
Yeah, cool. I'll search for it again and find another.
They just don't want to play nice with us. That's okay. I'm trying to look here. Let's talk about, since we're talking Google and Android and its magnificence, why don't we talk a little bit about the TV that's going to be coming out.
The television.
Television.
This Android operating system, oh my gosh, we've said the word Android so many times.
I know. This has been a mainly Android podcast.
Yeah.
Love it.
Love it, too. It's nimble. It's quick.
It jumps over a candlestick.
It manages everything that it does very well, and it's a good thing to develop for as far as, you know, how it just manages everything. And, I mean, you take a phone, and our phones are able to multitask, run 6 programs at once, but do it like there's one running, you know,
right.
The one you have up. I mean, the iPhone, the backgrounding applications obviously weren't tailored to take advantage of every single nook and cranny of the iPhone.
Right.
But as pirated as they were, you know, even then, you know, you were running apps in the background, and if you ran a few apps, your phone slowed down. Now, the iPhone 3GS, you know, it slowed down a little bit on the 3GS, which was totally understandable, but the Android OS does all this stuff, and it seems like there's no slowdown at all.
Right.
And it does it...
It's beautiful.
It's built from the ground up to be a mean, you know...
Lean multitasking machine.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, obviously, you know, its customization that we've talked about can be implemented into other app, you know, into other pieces of hardware, such as your TV. I've constantly said, Jason...
Dude, you have always wanted a smart TV.
TV's got to get smarter.
It's got to get smarter.
Even if it's just a little bit.
What does it need to do? You're like, I don't know, it just needs to be smarter.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
we need to be able to talk to it.
I mean,
even if it means turn the fucking TV off, turn the damn TV off.
Right.
These remotes are great, but they can be improved upon.
Having to, you know, hook up different cables and do all this kind of shit.
They have to be able to accept commands.
Right.
And accept, you know, different things. So, this Android OS, it's free, it's quick, it's fast, it can be customized, it gets updates. Let's do it. So,
they're doing it, man.
Yes, sir.
Intel, Sony.
Oh, fuck right. Okay. Google, Intel, Sony. Any questions?
Right, exactly. it's pretty much the trifecta of awesomeness
there. And they're going to call it what? They're going to call it a smart TV.
Yeah, smart TV. What was the code name? Like Dragonfire or some shit?
Oh,
I don't know. Whatever it was,
awesome.
It was Dragon something, and I was
just
excited.
Call the TV Dragonfire, and I'll buy 3.
Fuck yeah. Because that's how powerful the TV is going to be.
That's
it's going to be like fire from a dragon's mouth.
And guess what processor it might be running? Snapdragon?
Snapdragon. Dragon Point, that's what it is.
Dragon Point.
I'm still happy with that.
I just theorized the Snapdragon processor. Anyway.
Yeah.
Okay, so... it looks like that they will be partnering up and giving us something awesome. Actually, might be using an Atom processor in there, which is all it's going to need. Like I said, basic as can be, you know, that's fine.
Yeah, and something's better than nothing.
Right.
You know, it's going to have a processor.
I just wanted to do basic stuff up there and be able to communicate with my heavier equipment. You know?
Right. I think it'll be awesome because...
Stream a little video here and there.
Stream a little video, you know, they've got...
Give me
some
YouTube,
where you can, like, heck,
give me some
hook
Flash.
Up through, like, Xbox and whatnot, you know, and stream it through. But, I mean, this, you know, eliminate the need for some you know, components here.
Yeah, right.
You know, I don't have to hook my laptop up to my TV to, you know, watch videos. If I got videos on my laptop, you know, just pull up my TV, link it to it, boom, there I go. I don't have to worry about going through Xbox. I can just do it straight from the TV.
Right.
I want to watch, you know, YouTube on the TV, boom, I can watch YouTube on the TV.
Sling Player. I'll just run the Sling Player from my computer and have it communicate with my TV.
Yeah, I want to surf the web real quick to, you know, take a little look at some images of puppies. I can do it on my TV.
Puppies that are a little wet.
Puppies a little
taking a shower.
Maybe I'll watch it on my TV. You know, so this is, it's awesome. Basically, the idea that I told you to patent is being done. So, yet again, you should be rich and you're not. But don't let that make you down, Casey. No, I think it's a great idea. You know, it probably was going to be inevitable at some point, just like flying cars. But... But I think that...
We're just going to wake up one morning and there'll be a fucking flying car.
Shit's going to be flying.
Just like there was an Android OS.
Yeah. So, yeah, that is awesome. I'm excited about, you know, having a smart TV. I think it'll be great. You know, you've got these 3D TVs coming out, which personally I think is stupid. You know, the whole 3D...
Hush your tongue.
Dude, 3D phenomena is bullshit unless it's done right.
You did not just do that.
Did you just do that? I did that. I didn't see Avatar in 3D.
Well, then shut up!
Dude, okay. Gosh. One movie. One single movie that was
filmed properly for TV. The greatest movie ever, as far as sales go. Okay.
But filmed properly for TV, or for 3D TV and 3D-ness, great. But every fucking buddy else has been converting their stuff that's been shot for regular, you know, standard definition shit into 3D.
The context that you were saying that did not match up with what you're saying now.
I'm saying that...
All movies do not need to be in 3D.
No. But what's the point of a 3D TV when you've got one movie that's done it right so far?
Okay, Jason, what was the need of making an HD TV when there's no HD content yet?
But there was HD content. In fact, there was an HD content war.
Well, okay, we have 3D content now. It's called Avatar.
That's it. It's one video.
How many...
And here's the thing is...
All major networks did not support HD when HD 3D rolled out. ESPN was like...
Have you ever watched 3D on a TV, man? It's just
not the same. Yeah, because the TVs ain't made for it.
It's just not the same.
Theaters...
Dude, I'll tell you what. You know what? Fuck 3D TV.
Avatar is amazing, okay?
Avatar's not amazing. I watched it and I thought it was a great fucking film.
In 3D, it was truly a
spectacular event.
Crazy experience that not only I, but millions and millions and billions of people enjoyed, and it made it the most successful movie ever because of the experience it delivered, which was like nothing we had ever seen before, I'm telling you.
Right, and that's great that James Cameron did it right, but nobody else has.
The way that it immersed you in the world was something else. Now, James Cameron said himself, the games, you know, this games can benefit greatly from this, and if gaming is done correctly, it will make an insane gaming experience.
Oh, absolutely.
And you have no further to look than
Nintendo. Virtual reality would be fantastic, too.
You have no further to look than Nintendo, because Nintendo has time and time again innovated and changed the platform of which we play games on. And, they've deemed 3D as the next, you know, next plateau that they're going to...
Why doesn't someone work on a virtual reality helmet that's awesome?
It's coming, man.
You know, and I can do 3D games, but here's...
The hardware's got to be there for the software to be great. If you give someone
but here's my thing,
PlayStation 4, yeah, it's going to suck, but we have to log some hours on.
Here's the thing. Put some years in. Not everybody is physically wired to be able to handle 3D
Okay, now you're talking about an 85 percentile. 85% of the people are still going to be able to watch.
Okay.
Okay, so you did segregate a little bit out of there.
15% of the people are not. Unlike HD TV, where 100% of the people can see the quality.
That's fine. Minus we can deal with an 85% market share. And then let's just go ahead and take it down to 50% for people that may not want 3D, may give them a headache. I mean, there's people that are colorblind, they're not going to be able to see it at all, and then maybe some people are going to get a headache. Okay, so we make it down to 50%. So what does that mean? The TVs themselves need to be able to turn the 3D off and have sort of display both content if at all possible. There's four different 3D type technologies that can be integrated.
And it's not going to be huge for a while. They're going to have to find a way to do it right.
Absolutely.
I'm talking 3D James TVs Cameron as suggested. The way they are now are shit.
Right, but they have to start somewhere. Yeah. The fact that companies are willing to risk... the fact that companies are willing to risk money on this stuff when it's not proven 100% yet is huge, because it has to be developed.
Companies are willing to risk to develop HD content when Blu-ray ended up winning. You know, and so those companies lost a ton of fucking money. Xbox has an HD player.
That's totally different.
You're talking about a piece of technology.
Different. Those are two different type of video formats when the previous format is proven.
And you're telling me that 3D is not a type of video format when the previous are proven.
No, this is a different. This is a total different technology. That was just increasing the quality. This is changing the way that you'll view it entirely.
Okay. Still, you're talking about a company investing in a new product or a new technology that's unproven doesn't necessarily mean it's going to fucking work.
But it is proven, and it's been highly successful in theaters.
No, it's the thing. It's not proven. You proved number one that it worked in theaters with one movie in theaters. You have not proved that it will work with any movie that is converted into 3D on a TV while sitting at home.
It has been proven that upconverting a fucking movie that's not made for HD or 3D is not a good idea.
Dude,
okay, let's get that out of the way.
Okay, so
once movies are recorded with that in you know, planning around that, then yes, it does
but
make
as
the 3D
it sits
experience.
Right now, there's only one movie that does that, and I'm not going to sit there and watch Avatar over and over again.
Absolutely, but the point
on my
that you're
3D TV.
So what is the point that you're trying to make? Let's reaffirm the point that you're trying to make, because
3D
I think you've
TVs are shit right now.
Right? Do they have their place in this world?
Not right now. No,
they absolutely 100% do.
No.
When the computers came
out, the point I'm
computers
trying to make.
Were mostly useless. Did they have their place in the world?
The computers
iPod,
came out,
iPod,
not mostly useless.
The old school iPod versus the
computers
new school
have
iPod,
always been useful. They've just gained usefulness over time.
Right,
and
that
you know, I'm talking,
and
you
that
know,
3D
when
TV,
NORAD
when
and DARPA were using computers and the internet. That,
have you,
you know,
checked out a
use.
3D TV yet with the glasses on?
No.
Okay, so your point is muted.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is, because it could be the greatest thing in the
shit.
World.
No, because I've seen
you've never,
movies
you've never
that were
tested
made for
it.
3D.
You've not even seen Avatar in 3D.
Right,
you
but
have
I've
no
seen,
idea this revolution that
but
we're
I've
on
seen
the cusp
movies
of.
That weren't made for 3D that were upconverted to 3D.
And that
and
point's
suck.
Already been made. That okay,
and
duh,
that's what I'm telling you.
I agree with you.
Okay, so what
it's
I,
a bad idea.
Right.
You shouldn't do it,
so,
ever.
But what I'm saying is that you only have one movie that can be 3D. There's nothing else out there right now that can take
that's
3D...
There are movie. There,
what?
There
what?
Is a
what?
Ocean documentary.
The, was is, it shot with the dual cameras?
It is made for 3D.
Where's that?
It is well. Okay, I'll tell you.
Tell
you know
me.
This IMAX theaters
yeah.
that are built that yeah. are huge.
The Omnimax.
Domes,
mm-hmm.
Yep. That are you know you can throw 3D
yeah.
glasses on and look around.
You built. Don't even have to throw 3D glasses on and look around. It's like a 3D experience without it because you're in a dome.
You should Google that because you're wrong. There are ones out there that you can.
I'm
do
not
3D.
Saying there aren't. I'm saying you don't have to.
Right.
I'm saying I can go to an Omnimax
I'm saying,
theater
okay,
and
they created some they a native
so,
3D
okay, so, you, so you, you're telling me two. An Ocean Video and Avatar.
Okay. Yeah, there I there
but
are
who's heard
there
of this
are,
Ocean Video? I haven't heard of this Ocean Video, but I've heard of Avatar.
There are over 100 movies in counting, I guarantee you.
There's
I
no way
guarantee
dude.
You.
The technology is pretty new. James Cameron is the only
okay,
one that
and
uses
it's
that
flourishing
dual
right
camera.
Now.
Right, but
he already suggested to the entire movie industry just to play it safe. You should probably start fucking using these cameras so we can.
Right,
so we can
and
make
I
sure
agree. And when you start doing
it.
That, great, and you do it properly, but
and
it's not
happened.
Being done properly.
It's happening right now.
It's not.
It is.
It happened.
Ever heard of The Green Hornet?
Yes.
That movie is being made in 3D right now.
It's great,
now.
But I don't see it. I don't see it. Where
it's
happening.
It's coming.
Yeah. You know, Avatar's the only one to do it. Fuck you. All right? And fuck 3D
yeah,
TVs.
Yeah, you said fuck you to the greatest movie as far as sales ever.
No, I didn't.
Yes,
I didn't say fuck you, Avatar.
Yeah, you did.
I said fuck you to you.
Well, see, there you go.
And fuck you to 3D TV.
3D
I like Avatar, and I'm sure it would be great
potential.
In 3D.
Yeah, you don't,
I'm
you're
not
even
talking about potential.
You're not even allowed to say that.
You know what?
You can't even say that.
You know what?
You
Cold Fusion has a huge potential, but we haven't proven the technology yet.
Cold Fusion, jeez.
You want to break it down? Let's break it down. Quantum mechanics has a huge potential.
You have to give technology. I can't believe you're dismissing 3D.
I'm not dismissing 3D.
Because it doesn't
3D.
Make any sense. You're saying they should not sell it in fucking stores because there's
saying,
one movie that'll do good.
No, I'm saying get the shit right first and then come see me.
Well, okay. Have you put on the glasses yet? You've not even seen Avatar. It's done right. It's there.
Okay. One movie. That's, you don't understand.
You've never seen
one
it.
One movie.
So you don't even know.
Dude, one movie cannot make a technology. Okay.
Well, I'm just giving that as an example because I
right,
guarantee
that's what I'm saying.
There's
but
100
movie.
Movies.
But
I
what?
Guarantee
what's available?
Google it, man.
Dude. James Cameron was touted as the first one to use this for his 3D. Everyone else is just upconverted.
Because it was a combination of a great storyline and billions of dollars. Okay? There are over 100... What? There's over 100 pieces of film that I guarantee do 3D to an...
With those cameras.
With an appropriate manner. No. That will look good.
No.
Why would Sony and whoever else are making 3Ds, why would they do this if they did not...
Because
have
they're retarded.
Content to put on there.
They're retarded. There's why did Apple make the Newton? Okay.
There's
just because they thought it was revolutionary
now,
didn't mean it made it great.
To a silly product like the Newton.
Anyways, whatever.
This
so,
has its place in future and...
in the future.
I'm going to record this
in the year
conversation.
3000.
I'm
going
to put
okay.
it on my thumb drive and I'm going to type it all out. And I will oftentimes refer to it in the next 10 years when you're sitting in my
That's
house
fine.
Watching a 3D TV.
That's fine.
And your
when they do it right. And when I can watch something more than
seat.
Just Avatar.
And you'll say, you know what, Jason, they might not have been able to do this as quick if we would have told them you shouldn't be making that bullshit right now.
Hey, you know what? The technology is there. Doesn't mean you have to.
I should have stopped talking to you when you said, no, I'm not seeing Avatar.
Yeah, well, I've seen Avatar, just haven't seen it in 3D.
Exactly. So that, and that means you haven't seen it.
Bullshit. I saw it on a big screen.
Yeah, you've seen it in 2D.
Yeah,
see,
and it was fantastic.
You missed the whole D of a movie.
Yeah, I missed a whole
the
dimension.
The whole dimension you just totally missed out on.
Yeah, well, that's okay, because it was still a good movie.
Look,
and, you know, even though it was like Pocahontas.
Just
but,
go back to playing Nintendo, okay?
Dude, I don't play Nintendo. You're the one that
I'm
loves
saying,
Nintendo. I think
you should
Nintendo
just go back
shit.
To playing Nintendo, because that's 1D, and then apparently that's good enough for you.
Yeah, I like Xbox
the one,
360.
Well, just go play Halo in 1D.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what? Fuck
use
Halo
side scrolling
ODST,
action.
Fuck Halo
you'll
Reach.
Love it. You'll love it.
If I'm going to play
it's,
Halo,
it's
going to be
the original
three.
Halo, it's called Metroid. So just go back to playing Metroid and not stick to Halo.
That's fine. That's fine. You can play it on your DS Lite that you like so much. You think that that's just the shit. So yeah, Nokia.
You're
going to
love my Nintendo 3D handheld.
Oh, fuck Nintendo in 3D.
They're
going
to blow your mind, I promise.
Nokia is lodging another complaint over Apple. Apple, as you know, has been
countersuit.
They've been Apple's been suing HTC. Actually, HTC launched a countersuit against them
Absolutely.
As well.
They said we want you to stop selling everything.
Yeah, HTC tried to lobby the International Trade Commission, the ITC, to ban the imports of iPhones and iPads and whatnot. You know, who knows if that's going to be successful? Probably not. But you know, ballsy all the same.
Yep.
And that's great. And I think that you know, as many people that can should sue Apple because they're a bunch of cocksuckers. So Nokia,
we're readying our suit here in 2003.
Yeah. Copyright infringement. Nokia and Apple have been in a long lawsuit. You know, they've just been going back and forth. Apple's been trying to ban Nokia products from being imported. Nokia's trying to do the same. So they decided to go ahead and throw another countersuit against them over technology patents. You know, who knows when this shit's actually going to matter, you know? I mean, because they have to be, you know, you have to go through court, and there's a bunch of lawyer bullshit, and all these documents, and then someone's got to make a decision, and hopefully that person isn't on Apple's payroll, and, you know, I mean... Great that you're filing suit, but just like Apple filed suit against HTC, nothing's come of it so far.
Right.
You know, we're still, you know, rocking our Incredibles with our multi-touch, and fuck Apple.
Yep.
So, just another person, just another day, just another suit against Apple. That's awesome. So that's
it's,
just a little tip of the news.
Man. I mean, this is going to last for... The technology they're referring to is going to be obsolete by the time this court case is over.
Pretty much.
They'll have
yeah,
some other way
it's
going to
be a moot point by the time that they fucking settle on this shit.
Right.
Let's talk about shitty AT&T.
Do we have to?
Nah. We'll
just lump them in there with Sprint news.
Yeah.
well, no, they're not that bad.
I'm glad that you're no longer on AT&T, and I'm sure
yep.
you are too.
Yes.
Without a doubt.
Yes.
You know, they tried to upgrade their network to the HSPA, the 7.2 3G technology.
What I've realized now that I'm on Verizon.
Really any of that here.
No, I did not.
Fortunately.
What I seen when I was on Verizon is that AT&T is, it seems like they're right there. And that they just need to fine tune their towers almost. Because on my Verizon phone, I never seem to have... any sort of drop. The only thing I experience is somewhat of a drop in speed, never a drop in coverage.
Right.
Never to the point where I don't have coverage. I seem to always be able to make a phone call, a speedy phone call. I don't have to wait for it to reconnect to the tower or anything like that.
You don't have to wait. Funny enough,
the two places my phone drops on this road that I live on,
right,
still happen on my Verizon phone.
Huh.
So that's the hill, a dead spot for yeah, it's just a dead spot. Yeah, exactly. But the recovery time, once it drops, is
much quicker.
Yeah, it's night and day. My Verizon phone picks right up, you know, once it gets outside of that area. So, it's weird, man. It's almost like, you know, AT&T's towers just need an upgrade almost, you know? Or maybe just a limitation of the GSM technology.
I think it's the technology itself. You're talking soft handoffs versus hard handoffs. And what I mean by this, you're talking with GSM, you have, you know, one tower that's got your signal, and then you go to the next tower.
Right.
And it flips it. It's one-to-one.
Right.
And you hope that next tower picks up. Otherwise, you're screwed.
Right, with CDMA, it does the three towers.
Three towers. You are always connected, well, you know, when applicable, to three different towers. As you move, there's a soft handoff to different towers. That's why you have a better coverage. That's why CDMA really is a superior voice technology as far as the way they've got it implemented here in the United States.
That's kind of the end of the story right there. I mean,
that's it.
Because they could make a fucking, they could do what they're doing now, put out a 14 megabit tower, but it doesn't make a damn fucking bit of difference.
Right. Because
half your connectivity with the tower is just going to be delayed and just bogged down.
Yeah, so, you know, AT&T rolling out HSPA 14.4 megabit per second broadband network should be happening this year. But, you know, I mean, if you can't get the coverage, then it doesn't matter if it's 1,000 megabit a second or a gigabit a second, or if it's, you know, fucking 50K.
Because you can't
get the coverage.
And that presents a problem with designing of their towers. It's almost like, okay, well, damn, if I just had an AT&T tower in my backyard, I'd be good. But yeah, as soon as you drive away, you know, you're going to be bouncing from tower to tower, and that's why you need a dedicated tower, because that's just how that tech works. You have to have the dedicated tower.
And unfortunately, they're not going to be building one by you. Which doesn't matter anymore, because you're on Verizon.
I'd be actually upset if they built one next to me now.
Yeah, maybe, like, go fuck yourself.
Somewhere else,
you make that Verizon just to do it,
yep.
Even though you don't need it. So, another AT&T news. They are taking a commanding lead in dropped calls.
Oh, man.
Oh, snap. Hedge guy's fooled.
Thought we had one going there.
Well, it's... Yeah, so that just goes, They've got two graphs out. As far as percentage of drop calls over the past 90 days, you know, an independent company did, you know, research on this. AT&T was at 4.5%. You know, T-Mobile at 2.8%. Sprint, Nextel, you know, 2.4%, which is pretty good. And, of course, Verizon, the leader, was at, you know, a nice 1.5%. You know, and that's the frequency of drop calls on the cell phone. And that's pretty good, you know, for Verizon. I mean, it sucks for AT&T, but they are, you know, I mean, they're worse than T-Mobile now.
Well, I think this is tied right back into, well, obviously the cell phone towers being overloaded and all that stuff. For example, what's going on in New York as far as constant drop calls.
Right.
You know, you have
New York's already a clusterfuck anyways.
I mean, I really think they're missing the whole point that what we're talking about right now is, you know, the technology is the limitation.
Yeah.
You know, the way that it connects to the towers and stuff, I mean, I think that plays a huge role in half their network woes.
And that's why you see Sprint and T-Mobile, or I'm sorry, not Sprint and T-Mobile, but T-Mobile and AT&T as the ones with the most dropped calls because of the technology and also of the coverage.
Right.
But, you know, also the GSM technology. Now, I don't know how it is for you folks out there who have GSM networks.
So you got the handoff going with the 3G, and then what if you ain't got 3G, you got to bounce to edge, and
it's just a mess. Horrible.
It's an absolute mess.
Yeah. So, and then you got another study they did, same company, you know, they said, you know, how many of you are very satisfied with your current cell phone service provider? You know, not just somewhat satisfied, not, you know, I'm satisfied, but very satisfied. You had almost half of Verizon customers saying that they were very satisfied, 49%. Sprint Nextel's at a, you know, second with 35%. T-Mobile and AT&T come in at a tie for shittiest with only a 23% satisfaction rate, you know, very satisfied.
If you guys have an AT&T phone and you're on the plan by yourself, go get an HTC Incredible or a Droid, get on a family plan, you will save yourself about $50.
Yeah. And
$50 a month is how much you'll save.
And you'll save some heartache and some, you know, stress factor. And also you're going to, you know.
You'll be on a better network.
Yeah. You know, you might have to pay that ETF, that early termination fee, but fuck it. It's worth it.
Right.
So.
Well, all right. Well, one thing that I was wanting on my iPhone was a Wi-Fi sync. Apple should have rolled that out a long time ago. But it looks like it was introduced as an application on the App Store, was denied, and it is headed to good old Cydia for $9.99.
Not bad. Talking about Wi-Fi sync to what?
Wi-Fi sync to iTunes.
That's right. Which is huge.
It is huge. And it's amazing, I mean, how they worked it all out and how it works really good to the point where, you know, they can make an application that would manage it all for you. It's pretty impressive.
You're not talking trying to sync through 3G where it might be tough. No. You're talking Wi-Fi.
Yep.
I mean,
if you're at your home, you should be able to sync your phone. The Zoom's been doing it for 4 years.
Yeah, you shouldn't have to just plug it in into a proprietary system.
Right.
And
I shouldn't have to plug my fucking cord in when I want to sync data.
That's right.
I'm in my house.
And
it's fucking 2010, guys. Let's go.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Let's get on the ball. It's not 1984.
What? I'm not fucking sitting here twiddling my thumbs for you motherfuckers.
Yeah, so people decided that they wanted to release that. And Apple, again, said, no, we don't want that. And, of course, just like multitasking that's been, you know, rejected by Apple since the beginning, now Apple's rolling it out. They're just essentially stealing shit from developers that have been rejected and have gone to Cydia. So you're stealing ideas from the jailbreaking community that's on Cydia.
Right.
You know, so that's how Apple decides to do things. They're a bunch of fucking thieves. It's fine. Whatever. That's how they roll, and that's why they're going to lose.
Right, absolutely.
So,
and I'll leave you guys with a piece of lighter news. A study claims that gadgets make people happier. So
that's amazing.
You should listen to our podcast, because I think the study shows that it makes us happier
too. I do have one more little rant.
Okay.
One more little rant.
Let us know.
And this is just, I'll try not to make it too unhappy, since you tried to leave us on a happy note.
The soapbox is all yours.
You're going to leave us with an infamous happy note quote, so it doesn't matter, it's fine. Actually, two of them, because I like it. Alright, so, a lot of you guys have been following the whole shaboom bang deal. Shabooms! reference to that, you guys need to check out Eastbound and Down.
Yes.
Fucking great series. 6 episodes out in the first
season.
Danny
McBride.
Second season's coming out. I'm Kenny Powers. You're fucking out and I'm fucking in. It's classic. So, iPhone. Prototype. Some little developer guy. Little software engineer. Decided to go get drunk. Left it out in the bar. You know, the rest is history.
He was developing the baseband.
Yeah. And, you know.
Which is no tall order.
No. Nah, you know, and so he left it, it got taken, whatever. It's not like the dude pickpocketed from him, you know. The guy left the fucking phone in the bar. Yeah, you know, and then made minimal efforts to try and return it to its owner and to Apple, and then decided to sell it.
Yeah, made phone calls to their customer support.
Right.
They said, no dough.
Yeah, we don't know what the fuck you're talking about. We thought it was
a
prank.
You got yourself a Chinese prototype.
Right. You know, and then decided to, you know, this is capitalism. This is venture capitalism. He decided to make money on this shit.
Yep.
He decided to sell it to Gizmodo,
which reached out to a couple places, but settled on Gizmodo.
Yeah, Gizmodo paid $5,000 for it.
Yep, Jason Chen became the editor, owner of a iPhone 4G prototype. Yeah,
took that bitch apart and just did some awesome things, showed us what the prototype was, what was going to be in it.
Called Apple, said, hey, I got your shit.
Right, Apple, you know, officially said, yeah, that is our shit, we'd like it back, and he returned the phone to them.
Yes.
So.
No harm, no foul.
Fast forward to today. You know, or, you know, this recent week, you know, Jason Chen's door got kicked in by the police, specifically the React squad.
Seized several computers.
Yeah, several computers, 6 computers, which, by the way, that's a lot of computers to have.
Yeah, I think he had, like, some sort of server set up and everything.
Yeah, whatever. You know, he's a tech geek, I'll let him get away with it. Took his 6 computers, took a bunch of shit, took his phones, whatever, you know, they served a search warrant. And right now, none of that stuff has been gone through because the lawyers over at Gawker, the parent company of Gizmodo, have filed an injunction saying, hey, it's illegal for you guys to take this because it falls under the shield to reporters and their sources.
Yep.
Okay. So you've got all that stuff going on, and there have been some affidavits that have been sealed by the court. Well, after, like CNN and Fox and a bunch of these news networks finally, went to the court saying, hey, we as a public have a right to see this shit.
Yep.
You need to unseal these affidavits. So they finally did, found out a couple things, I guess, and this is kind of shitty. I think it was the girlfriend or one of the friends, but it was a girlfriend of the dude that sold the iPhone, actually ratted him out to the authorities.
Oh, man.
That's fucked up. Yep. Okay. Now, she did it because, I guess, the iPhone, the dude tried to sync the iPhone onto her computer, and she was afraid that, she would be caught up in criminal activity and all this kind of shit. And so she fucking ratted him out.
Yep.
That is some bullshit. Okay. But, it is what it is. Here's where my big problem comes in here, okay? Apple said that this represents a huge loss to their company, all right? Their lawyers are saying that the exposing of this prprototype has just caused, just huge amounts of damage. We can't even put a dollar figure on it, but we know it's huge. Amounts of damage to the company, because people that would have bought Apple products are now going to hold off until the new one comes out. All right. Here's a couple things I find wrong with that. First of all, provided you're not fucking retarded or living under a rock, you pretty much know that Apple comes out with a new iPhone every June. Okay? At least announces one. That's what they've been doing. That's their pattern. Okay? So, anybody who has half a brain is going to, after, January, say, maybe I'll wait 6 months to see what new iPhone comes out.
I gotta take issue
before
with
I buy this.
I think there's a lot of people under that rock.
Unfortunately,
I think there's a lot of people underneath that rock.
But here's the thing, okay? The people that are under that rock probably don't know a whole lot about this story either.
Okay? Well, I mean,
it's getting a little bit more coverage.
I'm sure it got ran on every major newspaper.
But here's the thing. Those people were going to get... Okay, let's say worst-case scenario, 50% of the people who knew about this, who saw this prototype, decided to hold off and not buy an Apple iPhone right now. Okay? Those people that were going to buy the iPhone are going to wait until June. What are they going to do in June? Buy a fucking iPhone. Okay? So, you're saying that you lost money because people would have bought Apple products, and now they're going to wait. But those people are still going to buy Apple products. They're still going to buy the iPhone.
I don't agree with that, man. I think I see where they're coming from.
How?
They have earning expectations. They have sales expectations for the iPhone that have the potential to be messed with by this purchase.
But
here's the thing:
the only thing it's going to do is it might stifle current sales, but it'll just increase future sales. In the end, it's going to be a wash.
They have tons of iPhones laying around they want to sell.
Well, that's their fucking problem. Because a lot of people...
I think it is their problem, absolutely.
A lot of people...
I think it absolutely is their problem.
Even if this hadn't happened, would still say, I'm going to hold off on buying an iPhone until a new one's announced.
Right, but most people... I think a large percentage of people would walk into an Apple store and just buy the iPhone and not know of any news of another iPhone coming out. I think there's a large amount of people that would do that.
And then they still wouldn't know about a new iPhone coming out because they probably wouldn't have followed that. Because this may or may not have been covered on a lot of news networks. I personally haven't seen the articles a lot on the major news networks.
I think this made a lot of waves.
But here's the thing, is it's not going to stop people from buying Apple products. It's just going to prolong it.
Right, but
okay,
like I
because
said,
even if they walk into an Apple store now and buy an iPhone, that doesn't mean that they're going to buy another one in 3 months now when a new one comes out. Because most people aren't going to want to spend the money
right,
on doing that.
But the same people that did not know about the next iPhone coming out would have the same feelings of anger when Apple released another iPhone in a month after they bought their phone as someone that is aware of this type of trend.
Okay. So
I think the anger would still be there.
Right. So basically what you've done is decrease people's anger by having this happen. Because now people know that a new iPhone's coming out, and so they won't buy it.
No, but I genuinely think this would cause someone to delay their decision on making a phone purchase.
No, I agree with that. I 100% agree that people that know about this are going to wait.
And the problem that causes for Apple is they have earnings. The sooner they sell the phone, the sooner that person's going to buy another phone.
Okay.
The sooner they sell that phone, the sooner they're going to be...
Dude, it's a wash.
Let me finish my statement here. The sooner they're going to be in the App Store, the sooner they're buying stuff, the sooner they're in the Apple
universe. A wash, because eventually that money is going to get spent anyways, because the people that were going to buy an iPhone that decide to wait are still going to buy an iPhone, are still going to get in the App Store. The money, it's eventually just going to wash out.
Yeah, but, I mean, this
product
cycle needs to run its course. They need to.
It's done pretty fucking good so far.
Absolutely, but I mean, I think
just because
it's Apple's fault that this is happening. But the statement that they're making is valid, but it is their statement to deal with. It is their current issue.
I mean, I don't think that this release has caused any loss.
Okay.
If anything,
so, I mean, we disagree.
But here's the thing: it might cause a delay in profits, but not a loss. And when you say it's a huge loss that you can't even put a dollar amount on, I think that's a bunch of bullshit. Because you are still going to sell the same product to the same person. A lot of people already know that, you know, that Apple's going to be coming out with a new iPhone in June. You know, it's getting a lot more coverage this year than it may have had in past years, even before this happened, because basically every tech journalist in the world is up Apple's ass and waiting for the new iPhone to come out in June. And, you know, the news organizations are going to pick that up. Even before this was released, Fox News, you know, was talking about how Verizon was going to be getting an iPhone coming in June. So these people already knew that there was a potential for an iPhone to come out in June. And I don't think it changed anything. I don't think they lost any money on this. I think at most it may have forced it. The second thing I have an issue with is how they're going to charge these people. Now, right now, neither Jason Chen nor the guy who sold the iPhone have been charged with anything, but they potentially could be. And you're talking theft, you know, and you're talking everything that they could be charged with is going to be felonies. Okay. That's pretty extreme. I don't see how, you know, maybe morally this guy should have probably returned the phone or left it at the bar, you know, for the guy to pick it back up. But I don't see how legally somebody left something, they lost it, you've picked it up. I mean,
California actually has a law that says if you possess something that is someone else's property, and then you use that for profit, that breaks a law. So right there, that is a law broken in California. Now, that as far as how that interacts with the actual reporters,
how's that going to affect Jason Chen though?
Right, I mean, that,
you know, they're looking at charging him with felonies.
Right, I mean, he took pictures of the phone and posted on the website, which generates profit for the Gawker Corporation. So that is a law that is being broken.
Okay, but Jason Chen didn't break a law because he didn't.
He took the pictures. He put it on the site.
He didn't steal the phone. They're talking about theft here,
right? But he purchased it. But he received stolen property then. That's it.
Okay, so you get him for receiving stolen property, which can be like a misdemeanor.
Well, no.
Yeah, I'm talking.
This is a
felony
law
theft.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know how that works out, but as far as was there a law broken here, according to California state law, if someone else's property is obtained and it's used without, you know, their knowledge or what have you, and it's used to make profit, then that is a law breaking. So I don't know how that all breaks down, but I mean, the fact is a law was broken as far as California law states.
Yeah, I don't
know. Now, is it Apple's fault that they lost the phone? It wasn't necessarily stolen in a malicious manner? Yes, it's their fault.
I don't think they should be charging this guy with theft. I mean, if you want to throw a couple misdemeanors
Whatever that law is.
Right.
I mean, you know.
But you're talking felony theft.
Yeah, that's crazy. Sounds crazy.
And I don't see what that is going to do. You know, they may or may not go forward with it, but you know, it's going to be up to Apple to prosecute and to tell the district attorney to go ahead and go forth with it.
Right.
I think if they do, that's going to be in and of itself a huge loss for Apple. I don't think that's going to sit very well as far as public opinion. Not that Apple really cares, but, you know, their pocketbooks might.
Right.
You know, you're talking about this, you know, this kid who happened upon a prototype. You know, like I said, he put minimal effort into trying to return it. You know, and after that decided, fuck it, I'm going to be a capitalist, like, you know, everyone else in this country, make some money. And he did. And it wasn't any malicious intent. And, of course, we don't know if, you know, if Gizmodo told him, oh, you know, there's nothing wrong with this, you know. Granted, ignorance is not an excuse.
Right.
But this guy could have been coerced into trying to sell this, you know, whatever. But, you know, $5,000, I mean, for that kind of breaking news, supposedly, you think it might be worth more than that. But still, you know, you're going after this kid. You're going after an editor of, you know, a tech site, you know, a media outlet, a journalist, if you will. I think that's a lot of bad publicity for Apple. And I think it's a bunch of bullshit to, you know, really charge them with anything. I mean, I don't know. I think it's crap. You know, Apple's property is its responsibility. They lost it. It's their fucking fault. They need to deal with it and not be blaming others.
Well, Jason Chen took it apart, took pictures of it, speculated on what those pictures contained.
It's called investigative reporting.
Right, but they obtained someone else's property and used it for profit.
They didn't use it for profit. They didn't sell those pictures to anybody.
Did the website not go down due to visits?
That doesn't mean they profited any.
Okay,
those
ads are free. That's how they make money. That's how Gawker stays in business, is selling ads due to page hits.
You know, a lot of it may not even be page hits. It could be people that actually click on the ad, you know?
No, when you go to a website, the website that is being advertised gets paid, or they pay the website hoster.
Yeah, I don't think...
Yes, they got insane page views, which pays them.
Which pays who?
Gawker.
I don't know.
Well, how do you think a website... How is a website ran?
Well, I'm saying that, you know, you don't know if the agreement is, you know, based on page views, if it's based on, you know, on banner clicks. You don't know if
it's a combination of both. There's a flat rate to put your site on there.
And you have documentation in hand. You have the agreements between the media.
I am familiar with how a website gets paid.
But what I'm saying is do you have specific proof that Gawker profited from this?
Absolutely.
How?
You pull up the page views for a week. Okay, you pull up the article, and then you look at the page views that article gave them. Okay?
Uh-huh.
The ads,
how do you know they made profit off of it? What I'm saying is you don't know for sure.
I absolutely do. The ads, that article received millions of hits. Mm-hmm. So the advertisements that were on that page were used several times. So every
they were
time,
displayed, but you don't know every if
time
they
you
get
need,
paid.
Jason, come on! Okay, you got a website. If 50,000 people go to that website, you get paid because there's an ad on your website.
That is
regardless
not always
of what's
how
on your
is.
Website. Absolutely, 100 fucking percent. Absolutely.
No, there's no.
If your website gets 1,000 views, you get X amount of dollars. If your website gets 1,000,000 views, you get a lot more X amount of dollars.
You don't know
that was
the
generated
case.
Due to this insanely great piece of news.
But I'm telling you that you don't know that that's the case for sure. You
can absolutely... How the fuck would... I wouldn't go to that website if that fucking picture wasn't on there.
Right. But what I'm saying is, did you click on any of those ads? Did you go to any of those links?
How many people... Okay. You can say that, but the potential for someone to clicking on that link gets insanely high. And those links are there, and they're clickable because, yes, people click on them. People do click on links of ads on websites.
Two different ways that they manage profits with ads.
And they got
one is based on page views.
They got
one is based
on both.
Off of actual
clicks. You're not going to sit there and tell me that 1,000,000 people didn't go to that site and not a single person clicked on one of those links.
I don't know.
1,000,000 people, Jason. People click on links on accident all the time.
What I'm saying is, and I'm playing devil's advocate here,
I'm telling you 100%.
You cannot
right.
prove to me, without a shadow of a doubt, that they profited from this, that anyone clicked on those links. I'll tell you what,
here's a picture of Intel. Do you think that Ustream is letting Intel run this banner without even clicking on it? Do you think Ustream is letting them run that up there for free?
No, maybe they have a deal that if someone clicks on it, they get money for
Absolutely
it.
Absolutely not. That is not true. Intel has to pay them a flat rate to get into their ad, to get onto their website.
Okay, so maybe they get a flat rate
to
display.
And Intel pays them for each click of the ad.
How do you
that's
know?
I can go
with you with a flat rate, but just because the page is displayed doesn't mean that that's how it works, okay? Just because the page is... You have to look at how these people are actually, you know, basing this income. All right, and it's not necessarily just page views, you know? I mean, you can do advertising like, you've got up here advertising for Facebook. I tried to set up advertising for 2000 and Tech on Facebook. I had two options. I could play a flat rate and set it up for, you know, how many people have visited the page and viewed the site, or I could set it up for, you know, for less cost of how many people click on it per.
Gawker is a huge site. They're going to generate money for page views.
Did Jason Chen get any of that money?
He gets a fucking salary. What kind of question is that?
But what I'm saying is did he get direct profits from that?
Yeah. The fucking
How?
People that
did
cut...
he get a bonus? Does Gawker pay him per page views?
Point the finger at Gawker. Gawker. He is an employee of Gawker. Okay. Trying to Gawker. Make money for Gawker by his work. So yes, he is an employee.
Why
of a company
necessarily that's
breaking
have to be trying
rule.
To make money?
Well, he's the editor. His name is on that post. He's the person.
So you're telling me that the journalist isn't trying to just be a journalist, that he's just doing it to make money.
Who was in possession of the iPhone?
Jason Chen.
There you go. That's it right there.
Okay.
He received stolen property, used it to help acquire money for his parent company. And by California law, that is a broken rule.
He received stolen property and reported upon it.
If he received stolen property and drove...
See, I don't think there's any malicious intent here, and you have to look at that.
No.
The way you make it sound is that he...
And that goes back to the argument that you don't agree with, that this has the potential to hurt Apple. The California law states...
What was the malicious intent in this?
Well, see, malicious intent doesn't necessarily need to play a role in here. It's the fact that he used a piece of someone else... He used someone else's property without their consent to generate revenue for his place of business.
Okay.
California law states you cannot use someone else's property without them knowing and giving consent to make money. If they take issue with
it... As far as he's concerned, it was this guy's property that he bought from.
Well, it's not. That's another thing. Like, you know, if you receive stolen property and you don't know it's stolen property, it's still your fault because possession
is... So you're telling me if you...
Because possession is nine tenths of the law.
If you find someone's iPhone,
and I give it to you. You're just as guilty because you did receive stolen property. That is how the law
works.
So
can the person go after me?
Absolutely.
Or can Apple go? Are you telling me that Apple owns your iPhone?
Well, in this case, it is a prototype. Apple is the owner of that phone. So yes, in this particular case, Apple would be the owner of that phone. Now, if it's sold to someone, then it becomes their ownership.
And it was sold to Jason Chen, and it became his ownership.
But it was never that person that it was already stolen property at that point. The guy
it was
that
lost property,
right? But it's the
big difference between stolen.
Okay,
and lost.
So if someone steals something and then gives it to someone else, yes, that is still stealing. The root of the stolen property is still
if you
the same.
Steal. But you're talking that somebody lost something, okay?
Well, if I lose my laptop
and it's gone, I have no one to blame but myself.
If you are in possession of someone else's property. Jason Chen was in possession of someone else's property. Regardless of whether he knew or not, possession is 9/10 of the law, and he knew what he was doing.
Do you even know what that means?
Yes, absolutely.
What does that mean? What is possession 9/10 of the law?
If you have something in your possession, then someone cannot walk up to you and take it away from you, because liabilities show that most of the time that's yours.
Jason Chen had
absolutely.
iPhone, and therefore, since he had it, it was 9/10 of the law.
Right, but we have very good proof that it was not his. And he's holding
but,
it.
Like,
so he is the
possession.
Well, hold on, let me finish, man.
Law.
You can't give me these crazy awesome things and not let me explain why I got a great explanation for him. Okay, so let's say you're holding a piece of property, and this is a great law. The reason law is based around this is for absolute perfect reasoning. Because okay, so I have something in my hand. I have it. It's mine. It's ownership. So anyone can walk up and say, "Hey, that's mine." I'm holding it. So the law has to look at it and say, hey, he's holding it, that's his. So if I'm holding something, but there's good reason that it's a law that I'm breaking a law by holding it and I'm possessing someone else's materials, the law states if you have that in your hand, you have that in your hand because there's a story around it. You have possession of it because you've done things to get possession of it. So it is in your Jason Chen's possession. It is your property, but it is not your property. It's Apple's property. So you are the one that has to explain yourself and be
did
held
he not give
be,
the phone
and be
back
held accountable
as
by the law as to...
As soon as requested, did he not give the phone back?
He took pictures of the phone and put it on
because
his
that's
website.
Because that's what journalists do.
But that's how
it's
that,
called investigative reporting.
But that's how... No.
Yes.
No, it's not.
Yes.
He received
absolutely.
He received someone else's property,
which
and
at
exploited
the time,
and exploited
which at
it
the
to
time,
make money
they
for
thought
his
it
company.
Was a knockoff.
Wasn't
at
it?
The time no, they thought
that,
there
well, that's,
was, there
that's
were
a
no,
great thing to bring up in
okay,
court,
here's
but
the
that's
thing.
Not how it works.
There are no, you know, there was nothing on there that said that this is it. Did you know how many fucking Chinese knockoffs there are of iPhone? Even the fucking tech support thought that the guy was crazy, you know, that he had a knockoff because they didn't know the prototype.
And that's a great argument for the court. But as far as the law, the reason there going to be a law, a court case about this,
the only law
is for that right there
that I see was broken was that there is the law that if you lose something, you know, or if you receive lost property, or if you pick up something that's lost, that you know you have to return it.
Right.
You know, otherwise you've broken the law. Okay, or you have to make an attempt to return it. All right, otherwise you've broken the law. That's it. That's the only thing that I see has happened. Okay, at that point, okay, then you charge the guy that sold it to Jason Chen for $5,000. You charge him with a misdemeanor for breaking that law and leave it at that.
Well,
okay,
Jason
my
Chen
problem
used it to profit.
Is that, but it was for journalism. It was for investigative reporting. It wasn't just for profit. He didn't sell a hooker on the street just for profit.
I understand that, but his website profited from it, which is why there needs to be a court case about it.
See, I don't think
because his website was a beneficiary of what was basically stolen property.
And I don't think that there's any reason that they shouldn't be able to profit off of something that's been reported on. You know, I don't think that they should be held accountable for that. I really don't think that Apple was caused any loss by this. You know, just because Gawker gained money from this doesn't mean Apple lost money from this.
We've talked about that 100 times, though. I feel that they did. You feel that they haven't. Yeah. I see what you're saying there, though. But
I just don't think
in a way, you know what? I think you made a really good point as far as, you know, he was simply reporting the facts. And that's why there's not... You know, that's why he's not sitting in court right now. You know, there's a lot
right,
of stuff
right
to
now,
be hashed out in this.
Still, you know.
But, you know, California law states if you take something and you profit from it, but then you have the journalism, you have a journalist right. So there, this should, hopefully one day we'll be able to say, if you look at the Apple versus Chen.
Right, the case Apple v. Chen.
Yes, that's there you yeah. go. Apple v. Chen states that.
Yes. You know,
Roe
so.
V. Wade, let's get crazy.
Apple v. Chen, A. V. Chen. So that was good. I enjoy a healthy debate with you.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah. So right. Good shit. I apologize for saying fuck you earlier about the 3D TVs. That was not professional of me to say that in a healthy debate.
I don't regret anything.
But you know what? I get fired up and emotional, as do you. Fuck yeah. So why don't you leave us on a happy note, though?
Oh man. Alright.
I love it. I request that you read this quote first that I'm pointing to,
yeah,
and then leave us with our traditional.
I was going to. All
fantastic.
Right.
I love
so,
you.
Real quick, I seen some shiznat on the internet. It said, I call MySpace Digital Detroit because the only people left are minorities and indie bands.
Dude, when you shared that, I fucking peed my pants. That is
that
beautiful.
Sums up MySpace quite nicely.
MySpace is dead.
MySpace should make that their slogan.
We are like Digital Detroit. Minorities and indie
See,
bands.
That will get them page views, which will then give them
money. Son of a bitch.
Roses are red, violets are blue. I want you right next to me, but a court-ordered 200 yards will do.
Aw, that's so sweet of you.
Thank you, Busey.
Thank you, Gary Busey.
It's so fitting for this podcast.
Yeah, I know. Hey, how many restraining orders do you think he actually has against him? I would venture to say...
Pending or active?
I would say actively he's probably got at least 10.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gary Busey, we love you.
I mean...
You're amazing.
Yeah, he is. He is quite amazing.
Awesome. Well, that's it.
Man, first Ustream podcast out the door with more, and hopefully
we're
going to
try and do this. Maybe do some video.
Do some video,
see
man.
See how this works out.
We'll finagle a way for you guys to see our beautiful faces.
Check us out.
We might have to wear masks.
Oh.
I don't know if
paint our face.
I don't know if my face is ready for the web.
You know, you've got a beautiful face for radio, man. That's how it
that's,
is.
That's right.
You and me both.
That's right.
Check us
what,
out.
Okay, so what was it? Radio killed the...
Video killed the radio star?
Video killed the radio star.
Good 80s
and
song.
Then the internet killed the video.
There you go. That's right.
Hell yeah.
So now that's what we have. Check us out, 2000andtech@gmail.com. That's 2000andtechtech@gmail.com. Twitter @2ktech and, you know, all the other shit. Find us. It would be good. 2000andtech.podomatic.com.
All right.
You know, good stuff. So thanks for listening.
God
we
bless.
Appreciate it. See you guys next week.